All praise be to Allah. We praise Him. We ask His forgiveness and we depend on Him. We seek refuge in Him from the evils of ourselves and our deeds. He whom Allah guides, no one will lead astray. And He whom He leads astray, no one will guide. And I bear witness that there is no God but Allah. That Muhammad is His servant and messenger. We'll continue elaborating over the book of Tawheed by Sheikh Fawzan, Ibn Fawzan. Sheikh Saleh Ibn Fawzan. So we mentioned that shirk is divided into the greater shirk, shirk al-akbar, and shirk al-asghar, or the lesser shirk. Shirk al-asghar does not negate or does not make the person become non-Muslim, but the shirk al-akbar does. And we mentioned that shirk al-asghar is divided into apparent or zahir and khafi or invisible. Shirk al-asghar al-zahir, the visible type, is divided into verbal and shirk of deeds. Verbal kind is such as swearing by other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the shirk of deeds is manifested by hanging charms, thinking that they would protect or aid in protection against bad things. The second type of shirk asghar, or the lesser shirk, is the shirk al-khafi, the invisible. And it's the shirk by intention and shirk such as seeking good reputation for what you do instead of seeking the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, deeds are rewarded by their intentions. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not prevent anybody from showing their good deeds. But of course, that's with the condition of having good intentions and purifying the intentions. So if the intention is to seek good impressions upon people, then that's a type of shirk. And making people know about the good things that someone does, such as saying that he is or she is fasting, or he or she spent the night in prayer, etc. So letting everybody know about this, and then going to some other people and letting them know that too, etc. That's considered a type of shirk. It's one of the type of
shirk. Seeking admiration.
Another example is to
أو يتلفظ بالذكر ويحسن صوته بالتلاوة لأجل أن يسمعه الناس.
Is to recite Quran in a really nice, good voice just for other people to hear and to admire. And this type of shirk asghar, which is called riya in Arabic, riya, is not the greater shirk, and it does not make someone lose his faith and become a non-Muslim. But the danger of it is that it can nullify deeds. It can lead to what could have been counted as a good deed not be counted as anything. Because Allah says, whomever wants to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a good way, then let him let him do good deeds and not associate anyone with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The scholars explained this verse, but saying that the way to accept good deeds are twofold. First of all, is to do the good deeds, and secondly, to make sure that the intentions are pure. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if there's anything I'm afraid, the thing that I'm most afraid for you to fall into is the lesser shirk. And when his companion asked him, what is that? He said, it's riya, or it's seeking the admiration of people. Another type of shirk asghar, another type of shirk asghar, the invisible type, is doing good deeds for something earthly, for an earthly thing, such as seeking money. Or an example is seeking Islamic knowledge just to make profit, just for money. So how do we get in terms between that and what the imams are being given, such as salaries and stuff? So basically, how can we explain how imams and ulama are getting salaries? The scholars have explained that it's all according to intentions. So if the intention is to do the good deeds for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to use the money and the salary to help him to continue to do that good deed, then it's not shirk asghar. But if the reason for doing the good deed is to gain profit, monetary income, etc., then that's where the shirk can be. Nonetheless, doing the good deed, even if your intention is pure and you're getting profit from it, then it does lessen the ajr, it does lessen the number of hasanat you get. The best ajr you can get from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is if you do the good deed with no return at all. But if your intentions are pure, at least your deeds are not nullified and they're not considered void. Rasulullah says, the slave of the dinar and the slave of the dirham, the slave of money basically, has lost everything. Because some people back in the days of the Prophet used to be happy and used to be content with Rasulullah and with Islam itself as long as they were given money.
Ibn Qayyim
said that shirk in intentions
والنيات قال فذلك البحر الذي لا ساحل له وقل من ينجو منه
is like the sea that has no shore and very few people can make it through that sea.
قال فمن أراد بعمله غير وجه الله ونوى شيئا غير التقرب إليه
and whoever seeks other than the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his good deeds has committed shirk in his intentions. Whereas the true religion of Abraham
لهم ولا يقبل من
أحد غيره
كما قال تعالى
is to purify the intention and make sure that it's only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
وهي ملة إبراهيم عليه السلام التي من رغب عنها فهو من أسفه السفهاء. انتهى كلام الإمام ابن القيم رحمه الله تعالى. طيب ثم قال المؤلف يتلخص
مما مر أن هناك فروقا بين الشرك الأكبر والأصغر. There are differences between the greater shirk and the lesser shirk.
الفرق الأول الشرك الأكبر يخرج من الملة والشرك الأصغر يخرج من الملة.
Takes a person out of Islam and lesser shirk does not.
والشرك الأصغر لا يخرج من الملة.
The second difference is that the greater shirk causes the person to spend eternity in hell, while shirk al-asghar does not cause that. The third difference is that the shirk al-akbar nullifies all deeds, all good deeds, and lesser shirk does not nullify all good deeds, but it does nullify
والعمل لأجل الدنيا العمل الذي
certain things such as
يحبط العمل الذي خالطه
for example giving charity for the sake of other than Allah سبحانه وتعالى will nullify that specific charity
لكن طبعا كما
or reciting Quran in a good voice just to seek the admiration of people nullifies the goodness of that specific act of reciting
هذا الذي يحدث له لكن إذا كان يريد الثواب من الله وإلى جانب ذلك أيضا له غرض هذا كما قال تعالى يعني في كتاب الكريم ليس عليكم جناح أن تبتغوا فضلا من ربكم يعني في مواسم الحج عندما سأل الصحابة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يريدون أن يحجوا ويأخذوا معهم بضائع ليبيعوا
However, to gain monetary benefit from doing good deeds, as long as the intention is pure, is not really any kind of shirk and it does not nullify your deeds. It does reduce your ajr, but it does not nullify your good deed. An example was in the Quran. Allah SWT mentions that there is no ithm, there is no sin in acquiring profit during the season of Hajj, for example. Just by selling and buying, etc. Making profit out of that, as long as the intention is not to is not only monetary fun, monetary gain, but also to gain the pleasure of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala.
يريد الثواب من الله وإلى جانب ذلك يعني يحصل على بعض المنافع المادية فهذا لا يحبط العمل. الفرق الرابع الشرك الأكبر يبيح الدم والمال والشرك الأصغر
الشرك الأكبر
لا يبيحهما. طبعا هناك فرق خامس يعني لم يذكره المؤلف وهو محل يعني اختلاف أن الشرك الأكبر لا يغفره الله أبدا وأن الشرك الأصغر
I'll go back to the fourth difference, but I'll explain there's a fifth difference here, which is that the shirk al-akbar is the greater shirk is not forgivable while the lesser shirk is. Now the fourth difference is that the shirk al-akbar cancels the sanctity of one's property and one's soul, but shirk al-asghar does not cancel the sanctity of soul and property. Again, the fifth difference is that the shirk al-akbar is not forgivable. Of course, if someone repents, even from shirk al-akbar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can forgive it. But for the lesser shirk, if someone does not repent from it, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can forgive it still on the Day of Judgment, inshallah. According to his will, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so now we're done talking about shirk and its types. Now we're going to talk about kufr or denial.
تعريفه الكفر في اللغة التغطية والستر.
In language, the word kufr means to cover.
يعني لهذا قالوا للفلاح أو المزارع
and that's why the farmer is called in the language in Arabic language is also called kafir because the farmer plants a seed and covers over it. And the poet said, a poet mentioned something that when the clouds cover over the stars or cover under the stars, he mentioned the word kafara for the clouds. So anything, the act of covering is simply
kafara.
And from a Sharia standpoint, kufr is against iman, is the opposite of iman. Now, what's the relation between those two definitions? The relation is that the kafir actually tries to hide or to cover over the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the signs of His greatness and mercy. So it's a form, basically a form of denial.
الكفر شرعا ضد الإيمان فإن الكفر عدم الإيمان بالله ورسوله.
So kufr is the lack of faith in Allah سبحانه وتعالى and His messengers.
بل شك وريب أو إعراض وحسد. يعني الكفر لا ليس بالضرورة.
So kufr does not have to be accompanied by absolute refusal. For example, Iblis, the devil, is described as one of the kafirin. But he does not really refuse the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He doesn't really doubt it. Because he used to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the angels, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked to him. And when he was talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he swore by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's greatness. So he can't really be a kafir, or I mean, he can't really be a refuser of the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the Day of Judgment for that matter. So he does believe in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he does believe in the Day of Judgment and the Prophets. He was deemed a kafir because he committed arrogance and he simply refused Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's order. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also described Fir'aun and his people saying that they denied the truth, but in their souls they recognized it and believed it. So if someone simply refuses to believe or simply refuses to become Muslim, refuses to enter Islam, even if inside he is a believer or he does not really refuse the message, then that's considered a kafir.
يكون معه شك يعني ليس مكذبا يعني تماما ولكن عنده شك في صدق هذا الدين وصحته أو عنده إعراض
also having a great doubt or having envy or any reason that would cause the person not to follow Islam is also considered a kafir. However, the kafir who is also a blunt refuser is definitely more of a kafir. Now, there's a little bit of elaboration over this particular point, because a lot of people have a form of a form of preventing themselves from entering Islam. They have a form of a resistance, basically, against entering Islam or against becoming good worshippers. Some of them were prevented, or the cause for their resistance is what they found their tribes doing, or what they found their parents and grandparents doing, traditions, etc. And some people, their source of resistance is that they're too afraid that they might lose their property or lose their social status. So people would lose their tribal leadership if they follow the religion of Islam. And for some of them, the source of their resistance is that they love money too much. For example, monks and priests who charge people a lot of money, who would happen to lose all that money if they enter Islam. For example, Hercules, he did believe that Rasulullah is the true messenger. And he said I knew that Rasulullah is coming out, is gonna show from Arabia, and I know that he's gonna own where I stand. And if I could get to him, then I would have gone to him, basically. So what he was saying is that if my people would not prevent me, if they would not prevent me from going to him, I would. And then he closed all the doors, and he talked to his people, saying, "Why, if I tell you about something that would lead you to all kinds of goodness and success, would you not follow me?" And he told them that he believed that he was, that Rasulullah was the true messenger. Of course, they huffed and puffed, and they didn't like that at all. So he decided to choose his throne over Rasulullah, and he took his army and went to Arabia to fight against Rasulullah. More than 120,000 people, soldiers, and Rasulullah came out with only 30,000. And on his way out, He sent Rasulullah a message saying that I am following your religion, while he was going out with 120,000 soldiers to fight Rasulullah. What's meant by all this is that having too much importance in oneself for the throne, or for for the kingdom or etc. can be a deterrent from accepting the truth and following it. Another reason is envy. For example, Abu Jahl is from the tribe of Makhzum. And he was terribly envious that the messenger was from the tribe of Hashim. And he used to say that whatever Bani Hashim say, we would say something similar just to match up to them. So if they say that they have a messenger, what were you going to say? So there was a lot of competition between Bani Makhzum and the tribe of Hashim. And also there's the person that said to Musaylim al-Kazzab after the Prophet ﷺ. One of the followers of Musaylim al-Kadhab. Now, the Arabs were divided into two main divisions, Rabi'ah and Mudar. Now, Rasulullah ﷺ and Quraysh, the whole of Quraysh, were from Mudar, and Musaylimah was from Rabi'ah. Now, the follower of Musaylimah said to him, "I swear to God, I know that you are a liar. But a liar from Rabi'ah is better than a truthful person from Mudar." So of course the envy and the tribal prejudice has led that person to deny the Prophet ﷺ and believe Musaylimah. And so there are a lot of reasons that can lead people to resist Iman and resist the truth, the true message. And going back, the denier with an open refusal to believe is of course deeper in kufr, or he's in a much worse position in kufr than a denier who does not openly and plainly refuse Iman. Now the types of kufr are also two. The first one is the kufr al-akbar, the greater kufr that takes person out of Islam. And it's five subtypes. The first one is kufr al-takdhib, or the kufr of open refusal.
والدليل قوله تعالى ومن أظلم ممن افترى على الله
that's proven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying and whomever can be more unjust than whoever refuses the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second type is the kufr of arrogance and hard-headedness with internal belief. So it's the person believes inside, he believes in the truth, such as the devil, but he chooses to deny because of arrogance and hard-headedness. No, the reason why the devil was a kafir is that he was simply too arrogant to allow himself to prostrate to Adam, because he thought that Adam was lesser than him because he was made of a different material.
على من يدعوهم إلى الإسلام.
And a lot of people have that arrogance. So, for example, the people of Noah said that we said to him that all the people who we see are believing in you are like the lesser ones of us from among us. They're the weak and they're the poor. So. So their, basically their arrogance prevented them from following Noah, although they may have believed in
something that he was
right. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes Iblis when he asked everybody to prostrate to Adam. Iblis refused because of his arrogance and his hard-headedness. Now the third type is the kufr of doubt, kufr al-shak. Now the person who has shak has basic faith or he has basic belief, but he has a lot of doubts too. So he doubts the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he doubts the truthiness of the prophets, he doubts even the presence of the prophets. He doesn't really believe completely in the truth. Another name for the kufr of doubt is called the kufr of speculation. Now, the proof that this is a kind of kufr is
the verse that says,
describing a man that he walked into his garden saying that I do not think that it's ever going to go away, that it's ever going to perish, and I don't really think that the judgment day is coming, and if I do go back to my Lord, then I think I'll find a better garden than this. So basically he had a lot of doubt. And he said, "Ma'abun al-Sa'd al-Qa'im," which means, "I don't really think that Judgment Day is coming." But at the same time, but he said that if I do go back to my Lord one time, then he's probably going to give me even more goods and gardens, etc.
And in
reply, his friend says to him, according to what the Quran says, "Have you denied akafarta? Have you denied in He whom created you and made you a man?" So that the faithful person named the other person unfaithful, he named him a denier, a kafir. The fourth type is the kufr of i'rad, which means i'rad means to simply turn your face away from something, or simply just ignore, or just simply just to turn away from something. So that's kufr al-i'rad. Some people simply don't have the willingness to even listen to the message of Islam. They would simply turn their heads away and just turn around and go. So this is a kind of kufr. The fifth type is kufr al-nifaq, or the kufr of hypocrisy, such as doing something that appears to be a Muslim thing to do, but hides kufr inside.
يعني لا ينفعه الانقياد بجوارحه الظاهرة للإسلام إذا كان.
So it doesn't really help if someone is acting like a Muslim on the outside if all he has inside is kufr and denial and doubt, etc. So these are the five types of kufr, al-akbar, the greater kufr. So the kufr of refusal, the kufr of
النوع الثاني
etc. all the five types we just mentioned. The second the second section is كفر أصغر, the lesser كفر, and it does not take the person out of Islam. And it's all the sins that have been named kufr in the Quran or in Sunnah, but they don't really take a person out of Islam, and they don't cause eternity in hell. And it was called kufr because sins are simply subtypes of kufr. They are branches of kufr, just like good deeds are branches of faith. If faith is a big tree, then the small branches of it are good deeds. Same thing, kufr. If kufr were a tree, then the small branches of it would be sins. So they're termed kufr, but they don't really take a person out of Islam. For example, kufr al-ni'ma, or the denial of ni'ma, the denial of goods or blessings. An example is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes in the Quran as the village that had all types of goods coming to it from all over, and then the people of the village denied Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's bounties, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala named that denial kufr. And also another example is fighting another Muslim. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that the fighting between two Muslims is kufr. But is it kufr akbar? No, it doesn't. It's not, but it's kufr asghar. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also says, do not become kufar after I die. Beating over the necks of each other with swords. Another example is also swearing by other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, he who swears by other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he has kafar, or he has denied.
وبين سبحانه وتعالى هذا مكتوب على المؤمنين فسماهم مؤمنين وقال فمن عفي له من أخيه شيء فلم يخرج
one proof that it's not that for example killing between two Muslims is not really kufr is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he describes the punishment for killing, he says يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, which means, oh you faithful, if one of you kills the other, then it's the punishment is had or qisas. So, but he still called the people by يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, which means that they're all still believers, they're not really kufar. Another proof is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he describes what to do when two factions within the faithful fight each other. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes them both as mu'mineen, both as faithful, but they can still fight amongst each other. Of course, it's not. Although it's not really kufr that would cause someone to spend eternity in hell, but it does reduce iman. It
ومن يقتل مؤمنا متعمدا فجزاؤه جهنم خالدا فيها. يعني الخلود هنا هو طول المكس، طول المكس، وليس المقصود بالخلود انه لا يخرج، وانما المقصود انه يطول مكسه. نعم،
the person is asking about the verse in Surah An-Nisa when someone, which says that whoever kills a faithful person on purpose, then he will spend quote unquote khalidan fiha, which can from first sight appear to mean eternity in hell. But what it really means, according to the scholars, is that he will spend a long, long time in hell, not really eternity.
يعفو عن القصاص إلى دية أو أكثر أو أن يعفو مجانا.
And then the person is asking, is there a dia in that case? A dia means a monetary compensation in the case of intentional killing. And the sheikh is answering that the guardians of the dead person can ask for punishment by death and can also settle for monetary compensation if they chose to. Now, what are the differences between Kufr al-Akbar and Kufr al-Asghar? They are the same differences between that are between the Shirk al-Akbar and Shirk al-Asghar.
يعني أن الكفر الأكبر يخرج من الملة ويحبط الأعمال.
Such as that the كفر الأكبر takes one out of Islam and nullifies all good deeds, but كفر الأصغر does not take a person out of Islam and does not nullify all good deeds, but does nullify some good deeds. And Kufr Akbar, the person would spend eternity in hell, but Kufr Asghar does not cause that. And also Kufr Akbar cancels the sanctity of property and life.
Kufr Asghar فإنه لا يمنع الموالاة مطلقا بل صاحبه يحب ويوالى بقدر ما فيه من الإيمان ويبغض ويعادى بقدر ما فيه.
Also, Kufr al-Akbar would lead to the inability of faithful people to form good relations with that person. But Kufr al-Asghar does not lead to that.
تكلمنا عن الشرك وتكلمنا عن الكفر، ما هي العلاقة بين الشرك والكفر؟
Now, what's the relationship between shirk and kufr?
يعني يمكن أن يقال أن الكفر يعني
it can be said
أوسع وأعم من الشرك.
More general and wider than shirk. So kufr al-akbar is shirk al-akbar is a subtype of kufr al-akbar. So if someone is a mushrik, then he or she has taken a companion with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But kufr can be by the denial of the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala altogether, or by refusing to believe one of the prophets, such as choosing not to believe in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or choosing not to believe in resurrection. So kufr is more general than shirk. For example, sihr, or performing magic is a type of kufr, but it's not a type of shirk. And some people can be deniers or kuffar and companionists or mushrikeen at the same time.
بعد ذلك الفصل الرابع.
The fourth chapter talks about hypocrisy.
وتعريف النفاق وأنواع النفاق. قال تعريفه النفاق لغة.
The definition of hypocrisy in language.
معنى النفاق في اللغة.
Yeah.
النفاق في اللغة مصدر نافقة.
And so the word nifaq is from the word nafaqa. The verb is nafaqa. And it's also derived from nafiqa, which is one of the exits of a certain type of rodents from its hideout in earth. So if you chase it through one of its exits, it would go in and come out from somewhere else. So that animal basically would create multiple exits to its lair. So if it's chased through one of them, it would come out from the other.
وقيل هو من النفق وهو
It's also said that it's from نفق.
قيل النفاق يعني في اللغة نفق
is
من النفق معروف النفق الذي يختبأ
فيه. نفق is basically a tunnel.
يستتر بها ويختبأ فيها. وأما النفاق في الشرع
but نفاق in from the Sharia standpoint is to show Islam and goodness but to hide kufr and denial and evil.
It was
named that way because the person would be getting into Sharia or into Islam from one door and exit from another.
وعلى ذلك نبه الله تعالى بقوله إن المنافقين هم الفاسقون أي الخارجون من الشر وجعل الله المنافقين شرا من الكافرين
وقال إن المنافقين as worse than كافرين and he described them as being at the lowest pits of the fires of hell. May Allah give us refuge for that. Allah says they attempt to trick Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the faithful, but they are only tricking themselves and they're not knowing it. And they have sickness in their hearts and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has increased that sickness and has stored for them enormous punishment. They have been lying about. Now, nifaq is subdivided into nifaq akbar and asghar, a greater nifaq and lesser nifaq. The first type is nifaq akbar or the nifaq in belief, the nifaq in faith. Now, nifaq al-akbar takes a person out of Islam, and whoever has it will spend eternity in hell, will never get into heaven, a'yadu billah. Except if someone repents from it, etc. Same differences between, such as between kufr akbar and kufr asghar, and between shirk akbar and shirk asghar.
No,
nifaq al-akbar is who takes
وهو الذي يظهر صاحبه الإسلام ويبطن
الكفر. And it's the kind where the person would show Islam and hide complete denial or kufr.
لكن ما هي نوعية هذا الشرط الذي يبطنه الإنسان؟ الإنسان يعني علانيته صالحة وخيرة لكن سريرته فيها شر. ما نوع هذا الشر؟ إذا كان الشر الذي يبطنه هو الكفر بالله تعالى أو بملائكته وكتبه ورسله يوم الآخر والقدر، إذا كان يعني يبطن في قلبه تكذيب الرسل أو
So if someone is hiding inside the complete denial of the messengers or the holy books or the day of judgment or the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it's
kufr akbar.
But nifaq al-asghar, the difference between nifaq al-asghar and akbar is the nature of the hidden evil. If the hidden evil is not denial of one of the major pillars of faith, then it's kufr asghar, it's nifaq asghar. But if the hidden evil is the complete denial of any of the pillars of faith, then it's nifaq akbar. So nifaq asghar was was something that the Sahaba always feared that they might have.
ما منهم أحد إلا وهو يخشى النفاق على نفسه. النفاق الذي كان يخافه الصحابة هو النفاق الأصغر, هو النفاق العملي.
So it's not really the greater nifaq that they were fearing upon themselves, because they know what they believe. They know that the main pillars of faith are safe and sound in their hearts. So every faithful person would fear the nifaq al-aslar. But inshallah, if the mu'min believes in the main pillars of faith, such as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his and the angels and the prophets, etc., as long as the person knows that he believes in those, then a faithful person should not really fear the greater nifaq. But nifaq al-aslar is always a fear.
مؤمن بالله تعالى ومن كتبه ورسله سرا وجهرا. النفاق الأكبر هو النفاق الاعتقادي.
Now النفاق الأكبر again is the نفاق الاعتقادي or the نفاق of creed. Now النفاق الأصغر is called the نفاق العملي or the نفاق of deeds, نفاق of practicality, نفاق of everyday life.
وهذا النوع مخرج من الدين
الأكبر
كله.
Again takes a person completely out of faith,
وقد وصف الله
out of Islam.
صفات الشر كلها من الكفر وعدم الإيمان والاستهزاء بالدين. الله تعالى وصف المنافقين النفاق الأكبر.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described those people with all kinds of bad descriptions, such as kufr and istihza or and making fun of religion.
بالاستهزاء بالدين وأهله والسخرية منهم والميل بالكلية إلى أعداء الدين لمشاركتهم لهم
and also Allah SWT
كلها علامات
has said that those people with nifaq would make allies with the enemies of Islam.
الدين وأهله ويسخرون من المسلمين ومحبتهم وولاؤهم لأعداء الإسلام لأنهم يشتركون
and their allegiance is held for the enemies of Islam, and but they're not able to show that
هذا يظهر في الأماكن التي فيها قوة للمسلمين.
Their enmity
يظهر في النفاق, لكن إذا كان الظهور للكافرين يظهرون الكفر خلاص ما عاد عندهم سبب.
If the enemies of Islam would prevail at any point in time, they would simply follow the enemies of Islam.
والكافرون هم الذين لهم الملك والرئاسة والزعامة. فليس هناك أحد يعني يدعي الإسلام ويمكن.
And the reason why Munafiqeen did not show up until later in the history of Islam is that Islam was weakened in its beginnings. The Muslims were weak, and so there nobody had a reason to pretend to be Muslim.
فحينئذٍ أسلم بعض الكافرين إسلاما ظاهرا وهم يبطنون الكفر ويبطنون العداوة للإسلام وللمسلمين وهكذا. ففي الأماكن التي يكون فيها للمسلمين يعني قوة وهيبة ويكون في إظهار الإسلام بعض المصالح والمنافع الدنيوية أو الوقاية من الأضرار الدنيوية.
So wherever it would be a benefit to them to show Islam, they would do it in whatever world. But whenever the enemies of Islam would win, they would simply follow the enemies of Islam.
ولا يستطيعون مقاومته في الظاهر فإنهم يظهرون الدخول فيه لأجل القيد له ولأهله في الباطن. النفاق الأكبر كما ذكرنا يكون عندما لا يستطيع.
So النفاق الأكبر happens when the deniers of Islam cannot really resist Islam all completely openly. So they pretend to follow it just to feel safe among the Muslims, while they know that that inside they are completely deniers of the true faith.
دمائه وأمواله حتى لا يعتدي أحد على أمواله ويأمن على دمائه لأن لا يتعرض لعقوبة من المسلمين. فيظهر المنافق إيمانه بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله واليوم الآخر وهو في الباطن منسلخ من ذلك كله مكذب به.
This is repetition for the earlier point.
وأن الله تكلم بكلام أنزله على بشر جعله رسولا للناس يهديهم بإذنه وينذرهم بأسه ويخوفهم عقابه. لا يؤمن بهذه الحقائق، لا يؤمن بالله تعالى ولا بالرسل ولا بالكتب. قال وقد هتك الله أستار هؤلاء المنافقين.
الله سبحانه وتعالى has completely revealed their secrets and has completely made open everything that they fear that people would know about them in the Quran.
وذكر طوائف العالم الثلاثة في أول البقرة، طوائف الثلاثة المؤمنون والكافرون والمنافقون.
In the beginnings of Surah Al-Baqarah has clarified the three types of people: the faithful, the deniers, and the hypocrites.
آيتان في الكافرين والتحذير منهم، ثم بعد ذلك يعني تقريبا 13 آية في صفة المنافقين والتحذير من المنافقين.
About 13 verses in the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah
أربع آيات
are about the المنافقين.
في آيتين وفي المنافقين 13 آية لكثرتهم وعموم الابتلاء بهم من شدة الفتنة.
A lot more verses than descriptions of mu'minin and kafirin because there are just so many and their damage that they can do is a lot more than the deniers. And the warnings included in the Quran against the munafiqeen are a lot more than the warnings against the damage that they can do is a lot more than the damage that the unfaithful or the enemies of Islam, the open enemies, can do. So in reality they are the enemies of Islam, and they show their enmity in whatever chance they have.
مشكلة المنافقين أنهم يتظاهرون بأنهم يريدون الإصلاح ويريدون الخير للمسلمين.
So they pretend that they want good and they're trying to fix things. But in reality, they want nothing but to spread evil and to annihilate good faith. After that, the author goes on to say that the greater nifaq is subdivided into six types. First one is refusing the Prophet ﷺ. The second is refusing part of what Rasulullah ﷺ has came with.
لا يؤمن اصلا ان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم النبي. القسم الثاني يكذب بعض ما جاء به الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم.
يعني so the second type refuses part of what the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has ordered.
الثالث the third type بغض الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم.
is disliking رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم.
لا يكذب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، لا يعتقد انه كاذب.
even if they don't really deny what he's saying or refuse what he's saying.
الرابع بغض بعض ما جاء به الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم.
is disliking part of what Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم has come forth with.
لبعض ما جاء به يبغض بعض شرائع الإسلام ويكره. الخامس المسرة بانخفاض دين الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم.
is being happy about any loss that is inflicted upon the religion of Islam or Muslims. So if the Muslims would lose something in battle or anything, then the Munafiq would be happy about it. The sixth is disliking any victory for Muslims or the religion of Islam.
إذا سمع بانتصار للمسلمين في بلدة من البلدان وأنها يعني انتصر فيها المسلمون وحكموا شرع الله وأقاموا
So if the Munafiq would hear news about a certain country or a certain part of the world where Muslims have became victorious and won, or Sharia has been implemented, they would feel uneasy. They would dislike that. They would they would simply hate it. And that's a type of nifaq. And it's a type of the greater nifaq. What's left is nifaq al-asghar. We will talk about that in the next session, inshallah. There's a question. The difference between shirk and kufr. The Sheikh is answering, shirk is a type of kufr where you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and worship some other entity. But kufr is several subtypes. It could be that a kafir is someone who does not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, does not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and does not believe in the day of judgment, or does not believe in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or because he commits magic, etc. So shirk is a subtype of kufr. So someone could be kafir without being a mushrik.
I'm not sure I heard the question.
الشخص أسلم يعني خصيصا من أجل الزواج بامرأة يعني فأظهر الإسلام ويعني ولسنا متأكدين يعني من كونه يعني في
So the question is, what if someone pretends to be Muslim just to get married to a Muslim person, even if he shows that he or she is Muslim? The answer is that we judge Islam only by what we see, what's apparent to us. So as long as we don't see anything that would cause us to believe affirmatively that someone is kafir or mushrik, then we have to assume that they are Muslim until proven otherwise. So if someone comes forth and says the Shahada and acts in a Muslim way, then we have to judge by what we see. And we hope and we pray for him or her that Iman would enter his faith would enter his heart. So we don't really prevent those people from getting married to Muslims according as long as we see that they act as Muslims and they say the Shahadatayn, and inshallah faith will settle in their hearts.
هذا صلى الله عليه
وسلم صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أزواجه كثيرة